many a slip. Introduced by Roy Plumley.
Many a slip, round nine, the ladies' team having won four rounds, and the gentlemen's team having won four rounds. Exciting. The teams on my right, the ladies Eleanor Summerfield and Gillian Reynolds. On my left, the gentlemen David Nixon and Tim Rice. I read out some pieces with mistakes in them. The first team member to spot a mistake presses a button. If it's a member of the ladies' team, it rings a bell. If it's a member of the gentlemen's team, it buzzes a buzzer. The chairman's decision is final even when he knows he's wrong, and here's the first piece. It was a lovely spring day everywhere. And the sun... Tim Rice?
Not possible. Couldn't be spring in every hemisphere at once.
How perceptive you are. Yes, you have two marks. Let's explain the scoring. It's one mark for spotting a mistake, another one for correcting it, and the marks are credited to your team. But if a competitor presses his or her button for a mistake that isn't there, tell us the terrible consequences, Gillian.
They go to the other side, those marks.
They go to the other side. Right. So, where do we got to? The sun hadn't been shining continuously for more than 2 weeks. Yes, it had.
Pardon?
And the sun had been shining continuously for more than 2 weeks.
Wrong.
Yes, David Nixon.
Not at night.
Oh. Well, the sun's been shining continuously for hundreds of millions of years, old man.
I mean, you are absolutely right, sir. I will only charge you 1 point.
So when it stops shining, that's when we start to worry. Two to the ladies.
Yes.
So the professor thought it a perfect occasion for extramural activities, such as Eleanor Summerfield.
Did you say extramural?
Yes.
Well, it depends on what his wife's name. No, she wouldn't be called mural. You don't mean that, Roy.
What do I mean?
I don't know what sort of activities he has in mind, actually. Extramural, does he mean?
I think he probably does.
Oh.
You shall have 2 marks.
Might have been extramarital.
Hush. For extramural activities, such as the story and the study of the single bacteria whose behaviour was hardly creditable. Although, Gillian Reynolds?
Didn't you make a mistake back there? I mean, shouldn't that be bacterium
instead
of bacterial?
2 marks you have. Single bacterium whose behaviour was hardly creditable. Tim Rice.
You don't need single, it's tautology, because if it's bacterium, then there can only be one.
I think you've got yourself 3 marks. Continuing our scoring system, if the team spot anything that we don't know about at our side of the stage, it's 3 marks. Whose behaviour was hardly creditable? Gillian Reynolds.
Creditable? What does that mean? Do you mean credible instead?
No, creditable's perfectly all right. It's an obsolete version of credible. And you know that we get pretty old-fashioned stuff from Messiter, so don't be surprised if it's obsolete. That's 2 to the gentleman. Although he had been down to its habitat, centred around David Nixon...
There's a mistake there.
Where?
Although he had been down to its habitat...
Centred around.
Oh.
What's the matter with that?
Well, if there's only... I'm sorry, I know I did. But, all right, so we all get lucky now and again. You can't centre around. You either centre or you don't.
Or you can centre on.
There's only one centre. Centre on, yes?
I'm giving you 1 mark.
Thank you very much. You're very kind.
Centred on a section of impenetrable caverns. He remembered Eleanor Summerfield.
Impenetrable what?
Caverns.
No, they can't be impenetrable.
Why?
Because he's just been down there.
So he has, too much. He remembered its importance to scientists who are just weak morsels. He wisely had the... Gillian Reynolds.
Weak morsels? They're very little teeny scientists, aren't they? Do you not mean mortals?
Yes, I do, too much. He wisely had the site protected by the tightest possible security officials. David Nixon.
The wrong kind of people for the job. The tightest kind of security.
Yes, but not the tightest kind
security
of
official.
You have 2 marks, and at the end of that first round, the score is 12 to the gentlemen and 12 to the ladies. There never was a man in real life whose memory is preserved in the song "The Man Who Broke the Bank at Monte Carlo." His name, David Nixon...
Yes, this is supposed to be based on fact, isn't it? Although I doubt it. But there
you
was,
mean there was such a man?
There was such a man who was supposed to have broken the bank.
You have one
because
mark.
He spotted a wrong thing.
And he both spotted a faulty spindle on a roulette wheel, as well as betting on the repetitive numbers which kept David Nixon.
You've tautology there somewhere, haven't you?
Have I?
He both spotted as well as.
We don't need that.
We don't need the as well as.
2 marks. Betting on the repetitive numbers which kept coming up. Tim Rice.
Now that's tautology as well, because if they kept coming up, then they would be repetitive.
Now, there's no getting past you, is there? No, 2 marks. He watched the wheel for a week, and being an expert on spindles... Tim Rice.
I think that's impossible, because they would have turfed him out at 4 a.m. every night.
Well, of course, I mean, there's no point in watching it when it isn't spinning, is there? You've got another 3 marks. He watched the wheel for a week during opening hours, and being an expert on spindles, thought he would aim for a big win. He brought a friend, David Nixon.
Is it correct to say to aim for? Shouldn't you aim at?
Yes, you should. 2 marks. He brought a friend to assist him to keep a check on something.
You can't say assist him to keep something.
What should it be?
Assist him... in keeping...
Much better, however. Much better. Yes, 2 to the ladies. He played for 8 days and his luck was in the ascendancy. And for David Nixon...
In the ascendant.
Better, 2 marks. And for those days he was instilled with hope by that slight wobble. Not until he had David Nixon...
He was instilled with hope by that slight wobble?
Yes.
Well, apart from the fact that I don't believe it, because the only way you can win at roulette if there's a bad wheel is to have a larger pocket than the other 36. Because I think this is a publicity story made put out by Monte Carlo. But that you can't say that he was instilled with hope. You can't say that, can you? It's not good.
It isn't good, no.
Grammar.
Right, correct it.
Hope inspired him. Or instilled him with...
that slight wobble instilled hope into him. I will
very well
have your other
I
mark.
Couldn't have done it better myself.
Not until he had 2 million francs, an irreparable fortune, did he stop David Nixon.
Not an irreparable fortune, that's not the
A
right
what
word.
Fortune?
A large fortune. A very handy fortune. Useful? irreplaceable?
That's good. Oh, 2 marks. Did he stop contesting against the government-owned casino? Ellen Sumfield.
You don't need the against.
Much better. Contesting. The... 2 marks.
Yes.
The government-owned casino. Tim Wright.
Did the government of Monte Carlo own it then? Or of Monaco?
No, not until 1967. 2 marks. Wow. And at the end of that piece, the score is 32 to the gentlemen, 24 to the ladies. Now, at this point, the memory test, I read out a piece of stuff, very valuable information, in fact, and later I'll read it again with differences, and the team will spot the differences. Electric fishing is based on bringing fish into the vicinity of an electric field because they are attracted to the anode, the positive pole, and they will congregate there. Together with a powerful electric lamp at the bottom of a large suction tube, fish can then be pumped up to the ship above. The fish and water flow into graded basket work so that only the larger fish are retained. The smaller fish and fry with the seawater are returned to the ocean. I think it's more fun with a bent pin, but that's the story. And while you're thinking it over, I'll hand over to our musical mistakes man at the piano, Steve Race.
It's Magic, a tune which David especially knows with his magic connections. And this week's music spot centres around magic. In 1967, the Beatles went on their magical mystery tour. From the resulting LP came this, Tim.
It was, in fact, two EPs.
That's right, two marks to you. Anyway, from it or them came this. Eleanor.
We've gone off into the wrong next bit.
We have indeed. And also, you all missed the mistake.
There was rather some Spanish bit.
Mistake a bit earlier. It was wrong. But you have the two marks, Eleanor, because you stopped me eventually, didn't you?
Yes.
But Perry Como's Magic Moments, a great hit of the late 1960s. Ah, Tim again.
1958, I think that one was.
Yes, late 1950s. Two to you. Here's the tune. Okay, so who gets in first? David.
Yes, the needle stuck.
How should it have gone on?
Do da da dum. A dee da 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 doodle da da do da 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 da. Isn't it? Something like that.
Anybody like to come to his aid, Tim? Moments we've been sharing. Would have been better, but never mind. You have the marks, David. In the film of the same name, Perry Como sang that song to Grace Kelly. Gillian?
I don't believe there ever was a film.
No, absolute rubbish.
No.
Two marks to you. Welcome to the show. A film song that was sung by Grace Kelly, or Princess Kelly, as we should now call her. Eleanor?
No, we shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't.
I don't think she'd like that at all.
No, we'd call her Princess
Grace.
Princess Grace, we'd call her, wouldn't we? That's right. Two marks to you. Sung to Grace Kelly in the film High Society was Cole Porter's True Love. David?
Was that little note?
Yes.
All right, in there.
Do-da-do.
Was it?
Yes, okay. you're right. In 1945, there was a film called The Magic Violin, in which Stuart Granger played the role of the great violinist Papageno. Gillian?
I don't think Papageno is the guy you mean. I think you mean Paganini.
Yes, two marks to you. And incidentally, the film was called The Magic Bow, but you didn't know that. Paganini was thought by many to be involved in black magic, to be in league with the devil himself, Satan, Lucifer, Silabub. Tim?
Silabub.
Silabub, yes. Should we give him another name, similar?
How about Silabub? Silla Black? No. Beelzebub.
Beelzebub, yes. And you can accept the writ from Silla Black. Yeah. Talking as I was a bit earlier of black magic. David.
I hate to interrupt that, because it's very expensive music from Steve Race, you understand. But you didn't talk earlier about black magic. You talked about magic.
Two marks to you. Mm. Matter of fact, it's three marks to you, because I hadn't thought of that.
Oh. Three marks.
David, I've never seen you... I've seen you do many amazing illusions. I've never seen you saw a woman in half. Have you...
Can we have a volunteer from the audience? I do it lengthways these days. It takes a little longer.
Yeah.
No, I do, from time to time.
Well,
I've done it in 14 positions, actually.
Well, I've never seen it. There is one song, David, I know of that concerns a woman being, at any rate, almost bisected. This song. And the great big saw came nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer. David?
Too many nearers.
What would you like to have
And the great big saw came nearer and nearer and nearer. Do deedle doo da. There's three nearers.
No, no, you haven't really got it. You got one mark. Anybody know the title? What's the missing words? Nearer and nearer. Thank you, madam. To Vera. Yes, nearer and nearer to Vera.
She's Vera.
I want to end, as so often before, with the last eight bars of its magic. Let me remind you, Tim...
That's not true, is it? You don't usually end with the last
one. No, game. I don't. Absolute rubbish.
Right.
Two marks to you for my rubbish. Let me remind you of how the main tune of its magic goes. Eleanor?
No, it doesn't. I mean, you left a bit out in the middle.
Yes, try. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da Now for the last eight bars. Eleanor, lead us all.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, the magic of my love for you.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Steve Race. The score now, the musical gentlemen have 48, ladies have 38. And I know you can't wait to get back to electric fishing. Electric fishing is done by bringing fish into the area of... David Nixon?
Into the vicinity.
Right, 2 marks. You missed, should have been based on and not done by... of an electric current, because they are... Eleanor Summerfield?
It was an anode.
No, it wasn't. It was an electric field. 2 to the gentleman.
Oh, blow.
An electric field, because they're attracted to the cathode, the positive pole.
No.
David Nixon, you jumped the gun, Eleanor.
Sorry. Sorry, Eleanor.
You can have my anode. Any time.
He's got your anode, and he's got 2 marks. And they will gather there, together with... David Nixon.
I don't think they gather there, do they?
What do they do there?
Well, could I have one before I go any further?
No.
They congregate?
They do, for 2 marks.
Right.
Together with a powerful electric light at the bottom of a large David Nixon.
I think it was a... it was a large lamp.
It was, electric lamp, 2 marks. At the bottom of a large vacuum tube, fish can then be... Eleanor Summerfield.
No, it was a suction tube.
2 marks. Fish can then be sucked up to the ship above... David Nixon.
I think they were pumped up.
They were, 2 marks. The fish and water fall into graded wickerwork. Tim Rice.
No, it's not graded wickerwork. Was it basketwork?
Basketwork it is, 2 marks. And David Nixon.
And do they flow in?
They do, not fall in, 2 marks. So that only the whoppers are retained. Eleanor Summerfield.
No, it's the larger, bigger fish.
The larger fish, 2 marks. The tiddlers and... Gillian Rattle.
Small fish or fry?
Small fish and fry, 2 marks. With the salt water, Gillian?
Seaweed? Not salt water?
Seaweed. Seawater, I'll give you 1 mark. You've got half of it right. I'll return to the sea. David Nixon.
Return to the ocean. Thank you, madam. I'll share that point with the lady in the second row.
It's Vera.
2 marks, 65 now to the gentlemen, 45 to the ladies. It was in 1970 that divorce was totally prohibited in Italy for the first time. Eleanor Summerfield.
No, it had always been prohibited. It was allowed for the first time.
It was permitted for the first time, 2 marks. President Nasser of Egypt died and was followed by President Sukarno. Eleanor Summerfield.
No, it's that lovely Sadat.
Sadat, yes, indeed. 2 marks. Some Palestinians hijacked and blew up 5 airliners. Tim Rice.
3, I think.
3 airliners, 2 marks, as they were going to Jordan. There was Tim Rice.
They're coming back, weren't they?
No, they were blown up on the ground. They weren't going anywhere at that time. Two to the lady. There was an attempt on the life of Pope Paul III. David Nixon.
I think there's a mistake there.
Be more explicit, lad.
I don't want to. I just want to hear my buzzer, make sure it is working. there was an attempt on the life of Pope... What, the third?
Sixth, I think.
Paul. My friend on my left, my learned friend, says Paul the Sixth.
And he's right. 2 to the gentleman. At the airport at Vanilla. United States forces, Tim Rice.
At where?
Vanilla.
Vanilla. That can't be right. Manila?
Manila for 2 marks.
Or
right,
chocolate.
2 marks. United States forces attacked communist bases in Cambodia. 2 CS gas bombs were thrown by a demonstrator in the House of Lords. It was also Eleanor Summerfield.
Commons.
2 marks. It was also a year of happier things, such as Sir Arthur Bliss's concertina for cello and orchestra. In space exploration, David Nixon.
No, I don't think the concertina, what you said, was for cello and thing, was it?
What wasn't?
It was for violin and double bass.
It was for cello and orchestra. That's two to the lady. Does anybody want to make anything out of what I said? No? You could have got for 2 marks by pointing out that Sir Arthur Bliss's composition was concertino.
Oh.
In space exploration, the Russian spacecraft Soyuz orbited the... Eleanor Summerfield.
No, it wasn't actually called soy sauce.
What was it called?
Soyuz.
Right. Mm. And Soyuz number what?
Pardon?
You have two marks.
We said we'll go for two.
Well, it wasn't.
Oh.
It was nine. Just.
Oh dear,
not far.
Anyway, it orbited the Earth for 18 days, and halfway to the moon, the American Mariner 13 partly exploded. Tim Rice.
Wasn't it called Apollo, not Mariner?
It was called Apollo, not Mariner, and that gives you two marks, and the score at this point is 76 to the gentleman and a paltry 61 to the lady. Few people have read the novel The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. David Nixon.
I think you're right. Yeah, all right then, all right. Nobody loves a smart aleck.
So that's just two for the lady.
Okay.
So I shall only talk of the H.G. Wells classic. Wells first had this original idea of... Eleanor.
I think it's tautological to say he first had an original idea. I mean, he had this original idea. Obviously, he had it first. Time he had it was original. Give me three, I'll stop.
I'll give you two and you'll
all
stop.
Right.
Right. Had this original idea of invisibility in about 1935. Eleanor Summerfield.
Of a man being invisible. I mean, the idea of invisibility isn't an original idea, is it?
How far does it go back?
Forever.
Antiquity.
Right.
Yes, many mentions of it in classical mythology. For example, Autolycus, who was on the tip of your tongue.
Yes, all the time.
Two to the ladies. And you could have got another two if you'd pointed out that the Wells book wasn't published in 1935, but 1897. If you are old enough to see Claude Rains when he was invisible, then Gillian Randall.
Shouldn't you have said if you were old enough to have seen...
To have seen two
Claude
marks.
Rains.
Claude Rains when he was invisible. Then you will remember Gillian Randall.
Well, you couldn't see him if he was invisible. You could see him playing the part of the invisible man.
Yes.
Right.
Two marks. Then you will remember the film, The Invisible Man, which included such names as Gloria Stewart, William Hadigan, Tim Rice.
The cast actually included the people, not their names. You can't say the cast included such names as. It included the actual people.
He's right.
Common usage. Yes. I'm not going to wear that.
Definitely.
You could have got two marks if you'd pointed out that I should have said includes. I should have said includes and not included.
The audience are getting ugly about your recent decision.
They're walking towards you, Roy.
Yes, right. Well, that's two to the ladies. Such names as Gloria Stewart. Gloria Stewart, William Hadigan, James Cagney and Dudley Diggs. The theme of Eleanor Summerfield.
James Cagney wasn't, did it, was he?
No, he wasn't, so that's two marks.
Thank you.
The theme of invisibility, David Nixon.
I don't think Dudley, what you said was in it either.
Dudley Diggs, certainly he was. Two to the ladies. You're too young, David.
It's before my time.
The theme of invisibility has been used lots since then.
That's awfully bad English. It has been used many times.
Or a lot of times, if you like. Yes, two marks. Many times since then for the cinema, and especially for television. Tim Rice.
I think there's a mistake there.
Well, there isn't. Two to the ladies. And especially for television, and such notable successes as the Topper series, starring Gillian Reynolds.
No, I don't think Topper was invisible. I think he was just a detective.
Topper series was a film, a series about invisibility, an invisible character.
Dear.
So that's two to the gentleman.
Oh, dear.
You could have got two marks if you'd pointed out that it was a film series, not a television series.
Oh.
And they starred Robert Young.
But you just glossed over that when Tim queried it.
Yes, that was what I was going to say, but yes. Clearly...
But you didn't make it. Eleanor Summerfield.
You said it starred Robert Young.
Yes.
It wasn't. It was Roland Young.
Well done, two marks. And more recently, some of us watched a series called The Invisible Man, starring Michael Caine.
Ah.
David Nixon.
Did we? No.
What?
Rubbish.
Why?
Well, we didn't, did we?
What did you watch?
Wasn't Michael Caine?
Who was it?
Wasn't Michael Caine.
Who was it? Two marks for somebody.
It was two other people.
It was...
Too late. David McCallum.
Yes. Ah.
But none of these recent comers on the old theme have the grubby reality... Eleanor Summerfield.
No.
Has the grimy reality. None
has. None
takes the singular
has.
Verb.
Two marks.
Yes.
The grubby reality apparent in Tim Rice.
Thank you. Comers to the theme, not on.
You play on a theme, not to a theme.
Right.
Two to the ladies.
No, but you're...
Has the grubby reality apparent in the workaday characters in The Invisible Man? Wells is imaginative, brilliant... and almost totally convincing first novel. Tim Rice.
Almost totally convincing is wrong. It either is totally convincing or...
Almost totally convincing is perfectly all right. That's two to the ladies. But it wasn't his first novel. It was his fourth. And that's as far as we can go. So this is the final score. Is 83 to the gentlemen who have lost their lead because the ladies have now got 92. Which means the ladies are leading by 5-4. Until next week, then, on behalf of the two teams, Eleanor Summerfield and Gillian Reynolds, and David Nixon and Tim Rice, and Steve Race, our musical mistakes man, I'll say goodbye.
Many a Slip was devised and written by Ian Messiter. The chairman was Roy Plumley, and the producer, Martin Fisher.